Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're recording. Your parents now can hear you if you make trouble.
Okay. What about, I mean, you guys have any input about what happened? The mocking the Prophet or the best cartoon to insult the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
What?
I think there is a competition. The best cartoon that insults the Prophet.
They had that?
Yes. In Texas, I think?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, in Texas, yeah. And there was shooting about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Things like that.
Were, like, at the school.
Yes. Do you have... Let's take it one at a time. Do you have anything to... Any arguments related to that? About mocking the Prophet?
Yeah, that's what he was saying, yes. But I can't say anything.
Huh?
Well, they had, like, protection and everything set up, so they knew they were doing it wrong. They knew that they were provoking us because the fact that they had security shows that they knew what they were doing wrong.
Right, yeah, definitely. That people are going to get insulted and emotional. Is that right in Islam?
It's not.
Okay. It hurts, of course, our feelings that the Prophet is being mocked and make it took, you know, somebody's mocking the Prophet. But this doesn't mean that we go and like shoot somebody or something like that. We can do, what we do is use the peaceful tools offered by the law. The law gives you a margin, a legal margin to react. If you react within this legal margin, that's fine. And we have plenty of this. But what about the free speech thing? How do you argue against free speech? Like, free speech, we can mock the Muhammad as much as we can.
Well, you have freedom of speech until you're threatening someone.
Yeah, that's not threatening, really. So, my argument would be that this is hypocrisy. There's a hypocrisy there. Hypocrisy there. Why? Because if you make a cartoon to insult the Jews, okay, guess what would happen to you? You will be, okay. In Europe, there's a law against insulting Jews, anti-Semitic. You go to jail. If you are anti-Semitic, it's a crime, you go to jail. So, you insult the Prophet, no problem. But insult the Jewish religion, it's a crime in Europe. How about in the United States? The Jews will destroy you, basically. They have their own network, and they have their own lobbies. They will destroy you. They will destroy you. If you're a politician, you'll be destroyed. They have the ability and they have the muscles to destroy almost anybody. So they will. And they will paint your... Even look what they did to the President Jimmy Carter. Because he authored the book called Palestine, basically saying that the Jews did not respect the treaty, Camp David Treaty. They basically, you know, said, they turned against him. Okay? And they made him in the media sound like, what is he doing now? They were talking about him. What is he doing now? How can he do that? Like criticizing him a lot. Okay? Just because he authored this book. Okay. Now, is there a problem with discussions? If somebody is discussing with you and say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in your prophet, and I don't believe in Islam. Okay? And you guys have discussion about that. Is there anything wrong? But if he started saying, your prophet is a pig.
A pig.
Yeah. Is that a discussion?
No.
So.
Did we just start or something?
Yeah. So.
Do you have a recording?
Yes. So discussions are okay. Discussions are okay. Mocking is not okay. So you can discuss with me and you can say everything you want to say. Logically, as a respectable person. Not as a mocking person. If you're going to mock me, then I don't want to talk to you. Then they brought a guy
in the interview, they brought a Muslim in the interview, okay? And they asked him questions. And his answers made him look like pathetic. Okay? Now, he committed a major problem that most of people who represent Islam fall into, which is trying to explain something about Islam in a few minutes. You know, I was asked once to talk about jihad. So I said, how much time you're going to give me? They said about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, because it would be in the news. I said, sorry, I cannot explain jihad to you in 3 minutes. I'm sorry. And I need at least 1 hour. Less than 1 hour, I would look like an idiot, because I won't be able to explain things and put them in, connect things and put them in a rational thing. I'll have quick answers. I mean, the interviewer was tricky. He asked the guy questions from this area and this area and this area and this area, and give him very, like, 30 seconds to answer, 1 minute to answer. Like, for example, he said, and you kill the people who denounce Islam, okay? So the guy said, yes. Okay, that's wrong. Why? Because it's recorded. Because denouncing Islam, remember when we talked about Islam? Sharia kills the people who denounce Islam? And do you remember what we talked about? That if you don't harm the religion will not harm you. And this was intended to the people who would quit, enter Islam in the morning, and quit in the evening and say Islam is no good. We tried it. It's bad. Don't even go there. So they're harming the religion. So the religion is harming them back. You got it? So the guy didn't say that. He said the Prophet said, whosoever changes his religion, just kill him. Okay? Why? Because they had 10 seconds to answer, or 30 seconds.
It's actually 3 days. They have 3 days, don't they?
For what?
To take it back. So if they denounce Islam, they have 3 days to take it back?
Oh, yes. And 3 days to take it back. And if they say, we did not denounce Islam, Islam is not a bad religion, if they just say it, they get released. So it's like telling you, it's either you pay a dollar or I chop your neck. So which one do you choose?
Well, you would have to owe him a dollar, right? Let's make sense.
You know,
he's not a bully and being like,
so
right.
I'm saying, we say to this guy, you have to say something that shows that you did not denounce Islam or get killed. You know, if he just don't want to say these words and accept to be killed, then he's an idiot. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like just a few words get you out of there. If you don't want to see them, then you really, really deserve your neck to be chopped off. Because you're so stupid. You got it? If you choose to be killed instead of paying $1. You understand? All these concepts was not explained. So if you give me 45 minutes, 60 minutes to talk, I will be able to cover all the areas fairly. But and then there's another trick here. And then I said, if you give me 30 minutes, would you be airing the entire 30 minutes, or you're going to cut and paste? She said, no, we have to shorten it. We have to cut and paste. I said, sorry. Try something. No, I'm not going to speak. Because I want, number one, no cut and paste. Number two, enough time to explain. Do you understand? This guy, he was so pathetic. He made, he looked like an idiot. You know? He made things worse, much worse. Okay? So, why? Because he was tricked into that situation. There's also another comment about it. Those kind of events should be neglected by Muslims. Neglected means have no... Muslims basically should not react or even care about them. Why? Because you, by reacting, you're giving them publicity. You understand? To the level that I think the people who did the shooting are not Muslims, really. Or they were paid to do it. Why? To give publicity. Okay, so I'll give you an example. In Egypt, every journalist who wants to be famous, he writes a book to insult the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and denounce Islam. Why he gets famous? Because the whole world will protect him and say, yes, that's freedom of speech, he can say that. You guys are so bad. Islam, by the way, allows freedom of righteousness. Islam does not allow freedom of corruption. So there's freedom, yes. Freedom of righteousness. You can marry any person you want. Freedom of righteousness. But it's wise to marry somebody who fits you. And at the same time, cannot, you know, not to marry is a bad thing. Or like you seek relationships outside of the marriage is a bad thing. So you don't have freedom there, but you have freedom and the freedom of good deeds. So basically, by doing the shooting, it gained publicity. And it proved the same thing. Proved what they want to prove, which is Muslims are terrorists, and they are reactionary, and they get mad, and they are violent. Basically, I have doubts that the shooters were really paid to do it. Why? To give the lady and the event publicity. You got this part right? Okay. Now we're going to continue the topic of Iman. We finished the hadith in second hadith in the Sahih and is in the Nawawi. Yes. Yes.
Do you guys, since we're wrapping up the year, do you guys have any questions? Just out of curiosity. It doesn't even have to do with, like, just with Islam in general. I mean, a lot of you guys are going to high school, and so you claim you're going to be starting to wear the hijab in high school, right? I heard that from a lot of you guys. Right? Yeah. Do you have anything?
Let's do this. How about if you send me an email and a question of the question that your question in general. If you have any question about Islam, is going send me an email asking this question, and it's going to be confidential. Nobody will know what questions you have. You got that? I will not release. I will not send it to me. Or homework@zaini.net. hw@zaini.net.
Okay, so this is my email. Right. If you guys have any questions about the hijab, I'm glad to answer, right? Because there are some aspects that you might
homework,
not want to talk to my dad.
homework@zaini.net. And the reason is that is to give you the freedom to ask questions from your heart that you know that you think are you're shy away from asking the questions in public.
Okay, yes. I know you. I'm right here. Like, any questions right now? Yeah.
I know I've asked this before, but we never got to go in depth. Like, women in politics. How exactly? Because like some people say that Islam oppresses women, which is not true, of course, but. Women in politics, how...
Yeah, do you know that Islam allow... the easiest and the quickest answer to somebody who says that, you tell them, you know Benazir Bhutto?
We've had this discussion,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you know Sheikh Hasina?
Yeah.
Then can you name the first female president of the United States? Okay. So guess...
Until like Eleanor Roosevelt, which it was FDR's Roosevelt's wife, right? Women, the first ladies were expected to stay inside of the White House and host tea parties for thousands of people. That's all they did over. They weren't expected to go in public. They weren't even like, they didn't take care of the official business. They didn't represent anything because right now Michelle Obama is like, vegetables, healthiness, that was non-existent back then. Because the males were the ones that traveled.
My pens are missing. I think I left them in. I left it in room number one, if you can grab it.
Okay.
So because we want to use the black color. Okay? So this is what I was. This is I replied. This is how I replied to the people who say Islam oppresses women, they can't be presidents. So women in politics. Here we go. That's the easiest and fastest answer. And it really hurts. It really hurts. It's like, who should have the stereotypes? We or you? How come you guys keep criticizing this and we have female presidents before and you don't have any? Okay, in the United States, of course. Any other questions? If you can think of something, okay, you can email it to me. All right. So basically, back to the faith, pillars of faith. The first pillar of faith is believe in Allah. Okay, what do we mean believe in Allah? We believe in Allah, we believe in His 99 attributes. Okay, so perception of Allah is different. Christians have different perception of Allah. Jews have different perception of Allah. Names of attributes of Allah? Yes. Number one, Trinity divides Allah into three pieces. This is against the name Al-Ahad. Ahad means one perfect unit. Cannot be divisible.
But they're not yours. Okay. Do you leave it in Arabic?
No, it's in Islamic studies, but that's fine. Then just use black color. So, Trinity is against Al-Ahad, name Al-Ahad, because it partitions God. Second, Trinity involves that God has sons, and it's not appropriate for His Majesty to have sons. It's not appropriate for Him to have sons. It says that He came down, and His son came down, or He came down in a form of a human, and He let a bunch of criminal thugs beat him up really bad, insult him, injure him, and then kill him on a cross. That is not appropriate for God. Okay? So it's against the perception of God that we have. He's a perfect, complete, flawless unit that cannot be divided.
Okay, anybody want to summarize what you just learned in the past 5 minutes?
Oh,
not you.
Hold on. We will not be able to finish the class if we go this way. This is bad. Here's the Trinity. God, Son, Ghost, or Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy is H-O-L-Y or L-L-Y. So basically, in Islam, we look, this is God, the Father. In Islam, this is God, this is man, this is angel. Okay? So the Father is God, the Son is a man, the Holy Spirit is an angel, Angel Gabriel, who made Maryam pregnant. Okay? So, as you can see, we don't have this partition. They combined this partition into one unit and they called it God. But that's a partition. It's not appropriate for His Majesty to have partitions like that. So, believe in God, believe in the 99 attributes of God. Okay, one of you might say, okay, God, why doesn't God show Himself to us? Okay, so that everything will go right and there will be no problem. Nobody's going to disbelieve when you can see Allah eye to eye. Like you can then see Allah, here's Allah. Okay, so there's no room for disbelieving. Why doesn't Allah just do that? Any idea? Go ahead. Because of the test. Number one, the test. Now, why Allah has to hide himself so that we can be tested? Yes, but... Okay, let me put it in a different word. Will you dare to disobey Allah when you can see Him? Would Allah allow you to disobey Him when you can see Him? You see what I'm saying? So, first, the first argument is that Allah, you cannot, you will not be able to make mistakes when you see Allah. And you will, and Allah will not allow you to make mistakes in His presence. That's number one. This is why Allah's presence is not on this world. Allah, power and knowledge is everywhere, but Allah's presence is where? Heavens. Remember the hadith of the girl who came to the Prophet, said, where is Allah? He said, in heavens. Is He around us here? No. He is everywhere with His knowledge and wisdom and control, but He is actually in heavens. So, and if Allah's present, Allah is not going to allow you to disobey Him when you can see Him. Okay? And you will not be to disobey Allah. If we are even exposed to something simpler than that, which is like hearing the screams of the people who are being punished in the graves. You know the graves punishment? The graves punishment is similar to nightmares. So, in a nightmare...
Is there a Tanya Berry in this class? No?
Oh, it's Sanya, I believe she's in room one. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, what was the question that I asked? Would you, if you can hear nightmares, okay, punishment in the grave is like nightmares, okay? Similar to nightmares. You can be sleeping in your bed comfortably. And what I see a person sleeping on his bed or her bed, comfortably, and very nice bed, very nice mattress, very nice pillow, very nice bedroom. And I see the person's sleeping peacefully. But this person, is that what is happening to this person? No. This person is having a nightmare. Would we be able to see that this person is having a nightmare?
No.
We won't be able. So this person... You, all what you can see is the outside. And you don't. He could be even your spouse sleeping right next to you. And he is in a nightmare. Okay? And you are not aware of that.
Unless he's sweating and completely drenching his bed and it becomes a keeper.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, I've had nightmares before and my sister doesn't wake up. But that was when I was six and I thought ants were scary.
So here is the punishment in the grave. How about the luxury or like the reward of the Jannah in the grave? It's like a sweet dream. It's like a sweet dream. You could be in your dream in Jannah and enjoying, but you're physically on your bed. Similar to that is the nightmares. Similar to the nightmares and sweet dreams is the punishment and reward in the grave. When you go bury somebody, you see this person is a nice box with nice flower and nice perfume. So I was asked by one Muslim. He says, look at him in a nice box with a lot of perfume, makeup, and flowers. And you would say that he's being punished in the grave. Where is that? So I told him about the nightmare, that you see a person sleeping, but you're not aware that this person is having a nightmare. Okay? It's going to be a nightmare that feels real. So when the Prophet ﷺ says that if you answer the questions wrong, the angels, Munkar and Nakir, who question you, are going to hit you with a hammer on your head. You would be sinking to the middle of the earth. In 70 years, it would take you 70 years to sink to the middle of the earth and then bounce back. And then bounce back. Now, does this happen? Does this happen physically? No. But you will feel that way. So if you measure the pain, if you measure the pain of a person who's being hammered one hit on his head or her head and sink down 70 years and bounce back, if you measure this pain, it will be equivalent to that. So the pain will be the equivalent pain. The pain is going to be the what? Equivalent pain. So when it says that you get your head smashed as a punishment, for example, and then it comes back and then it gets smashed again and it just comes back. Is that physical? No. But it feels physical. You will feel it's like happening to you, really. That's your feeling. And who cares about other than your feeling? What matters are your feelings, right? Here in this life, does it matter what you have, what you physically have, or your feelings? What's important, feelings or actually things that you own? If you own a lot of property and you feel depressed, is that something good? That will lead to suicide, by the way. Okay? If you own very little and you're so happy about this, then is this okay? Isn't that okay? Isn't that good? So a rich person, a rich depressed person, is less fortunate than a poor thankful person. So what is important is what you feel. It's not what you have. Do you understand this concept very well? What is important is what you feel, not what you have. You can have a lot, but you don't feel happy. Okay, you got this part right? Okay. So in the grave, what is important is how do you feel. So if you feel like a hammer pushing you towards the earth, and it takes you 70 years down, and you know, and then bounce back, 70 years, bounce back. It's 140 years. Does it feel that way? Yes, it feels that way. To you, it feels that way. So what is important is not whether it's physically happening or not. What is important is how do you feel? And it will feel that way. When the Prophet says, for those who don't pray, the bald snake or the bald reptile that comes into the grave and surrounds the person and then squishes his bones all together, completely squish that person, and then the person's body will come back the way it was. And then this snake is going to crush him again. Okay, does this happen physically? No, but this is what you would be feeling, and it would feel like real. Would feel to you equivalent to if it's happening, actually happening. Okay, for example, Allah kills a person in the grave or in the hellfire. Allah kills a person who killed another. So for every person you kill, you would be killed. Killed meaning what? You're going to go through the pain of being killed. But is it happening physically? No, you're already dead. But you feel that way. Go ahead.
What if you kill people because you were fighting in the war?
Huh?
What if you kill people because you were in the war?
If it's a just war? If it is just a war. If it is just a war, then okay. But and you're a soldier. If it's a just war and you're a soldier, it's okay. But if it's unjust war, then it's murder.
So if it's like
a war of aggression, if it's a war of aggression or oppression, okay, and you kill somebody, you are a bad person. But if it's a just war, then you are a good person.
We're trying to get into Canada, for example, and the U.S. is about in the secret army, you apply, and then you're in the war. I recommend you don't kill anybody, because that's very oppressive.
So, So basically what I'm trying to say here about the... Now, if Allah will make you hear the screaming, now, of course, when this is happening, you will be screaming. Is it physical screaming? No. It's screaming in this nightmare, screaming your lung out, screaming really high with this kind of screaming. It's a heart-shaking screaming. Okay? If Allah will make us hear that screaming, we will lose our free will. Why?
Subconsciously, we'll be so scared that we won't be able to do anything.
Perfect. It's just like this. Let's say...
Subconsciously.
Let's say you're about to disobey Allah and drink a cup of wine. And by the time you raise it to your mouth, you hear... Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. It's... You really, really lose your free will. So Allah has to be absent, or you will be deprived of your free will. Even less than that, if you hear, by the way, I've heard that some animals can hear the punishment of the people in the grave. Some animals are.
No.
Yes, she is, but she went to the bathroom.
Okay.
Do you
want
to go see me?
Okay.
In the corner table.
So you got this part? So by the way, we have five senses. Those five senses do not see everything, okay, or not be aware of everything. There are so many things. When you die, you see a lot of more dimensions. You see a lot more dimensions. Right now, your soul is bound to your body. So whatever your body is able to handle, your soul is able to do. You got that? But in the day of judgment, I'm sorry, after you die, you're freed from your body. So now you have senses that you can see Allah, that you can see the angels, and you can live in this world, and the world, the afterlife world. Okay. So one answer is so that we don't lose our free will. Okay, then why wouldn't Allah just make us less than that? Make us see miracles. Okay, that's not seeing Him, and this is not hearing the screams of the people who die. Just seeing miracles. So that we believe. Like you say every weekend to the kids, okay, the miracle of today. Okay, let's go see the miracle of today. Or the miracle of this week. Why doesn't Allah just, or even one miracle of your lifetime, why doesn't Allah show us miracles? Allah did show others miracles. Okay. But was it something, why is it something bad that you see miracles? Yeah.
Me to direct you or something? I'm pretty sure she's at the corner table, like over there. Seeing Allah is also a miracle. Because I'm pretty sure if we do see Allah while we're still in our bodies, won't we, like, disintegrate? Not disintegrate, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
Huh? What?
If we see Allah in our current, like, state with only these five senses, don't we like to see a grave or something?
Yes, we want to be able to handle it. Physically, we want to be able to handle it. Yeah, you can do that. You can add that. So in addition to losing your free will, second, physically, you want to be able to handle it. Guess who tried it? Prophet Musa. And what happened? Allah, he said, Ya Allah, let me see you. He's talking to Allah, so he wanted more. No, he just said, Ya Allah, let me see you. As mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, I think. No, not Surah Al-Baqarah. Anyway, he said, Ya Allah, let me see you. So Allah said, okay, look at this mountain. I'm going to expose myself to this mountain. if the mountain will stand it, then you'll see. Just look at this mountain. So Allah exposed himself to the mountain. The mountain crushed, the big, huge mountain full of rocks, crushed in a second. Crushed completely. And guess what happened to Prophet Musa? He passed out. And then when he became awake, he said, Ya Allah, forgive me for asking such an ignorant request. So Allah told him, Ya Musa, I have chosen you over others, and I've given you my message and my talk. Being talking to you, and I talk to you, and I'm giving you a message. Take whatever you have, whatever I've given you, take it and be thankful. Don't ask for more.
Wasn't he the prophet who asked for divine knowledge?
No. The divine knowledge is Prophet Musa and the divine knowledge guy? Yes. With Prophet Musa and the divine knowledge.
Yeah. Prophet Musa just
yeah. He was, when he was walking accompanied this divine knowledge guy. And some people say this divine knowledge guy is Al-Khidr. Okay. This is wrong. Nothing. Yeah. This is like a rumor so far. Nothing like something that people repeat without knowing that there's no evidence or so whatsoever that he was Al-Khidr. Somebody made it up and then it became popular. Just like the spider web on the entrance of the cave, Thawr, and the bird laying eggs. Okay? Somebody made it up and it became famous. That's not true. This is not what happened. You know, it's like everybody, it's just a person made it up. Okay? A lot of things. Just like cleanness is part of faith. Okay? Some people say this is a hadith. That's not a hadith. That's a statement. Somebody said, a wise person said cleanness is part of faith. But it's not a hadith. Definitely the hadith, you know, calls you to be clean, definitely, yeah. But that statement is not hadith in itself. It became so popular that people think it's hadith. Okay? So, Prophet Musa. So, we can't physically see Allah. But again, why don't we see miracles? Look to the people that have seen miracles. Let's say Prophet Isa, for example. Prophet Isa's religion was spread using miracles. What miracles? You know, he was able to raise the dead. He was able to fashion a bird out of clay and blow into it. It becomes a live bird. So give life to birds. And he was able to heal people from sickness by just wiping on them. And he got a lot of miracles. Because of these miracles, people confused him with God. So people ended up what? Making this man part of the Trinity. Part of the... I think there are some people that don't like maybe Jehovah Witnesses or something like that. But mostly, you know, mostly like 99.9% believe in the Trinity.
Kind of like how we have our different schools and whatnot, how there's like some... I know, but we all have like the basics.
The difference between Sunni and Shia doesn't come in faith. It means that they have five pillars of Islam and six pillars of faith.
Exactly.
And the same Quran. So now, the difference between Christian methods or Christian religions is way much bigger than the difference between Sunnah and Shia. So that statement is not fair. You can't say that this difference between Sunni and Shia is like a difference between Baptist and Catholic. No. No, Catholics has seven more books in the Bible, more than the Protestant. Seven more books, more than the Protestant. They don't have the same Bible, number one. Number two, their faith is different. The nature of their faith is different. Okay? The difference is so much that, but Sunni and Shi'i, this difference is just because of the
disputed, unclear technologies.
No, disputed, unclear historical events.
And things like the
yes.
Covering the
seat. No.
No, yes, because there's
these are the schools. Ah, yes, but I'm talking about difference between Sunni and Shia.
Oh.
But let's go back to the what happened to the believers, to the people when Prophet Isa spread his religion using miracles. What happened? People end up confusing him with Allah, with God, or making part of the divinity, which is the God thing. Okay. This is why Allah chose that Islam would spread using the laws of nature. Actual struggling without miracles. Okay. The miracles of the Prophet were personal miracles. Like to comfort the Prophet as a person. But he did not use it as a way to spread Islam. Islam was spread using the laws of nature.
But the way Islam was spread was pretty cool, though. Like 27 years empire, whatnot, destroying the Persian Empire. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but using the laws of nature. Again, using the laws of nature. Okay, so why, again, so number one,
yeah.
The Prophet, why doesn't Allah show miracles? Number one, when it happened, people end up worshiping the Prophet who had the miracles. Number two, it makes people, and this is very important, it makes people held to a higher responsibility. Did I talk to you about that before? Okay. When you see a miracle, I'm not going to judge you like another person who didn't see a miracle, right? So let's say here, you didn't see a miracle. She didn't see a miracle. When I judge both of you, when Allah judges both of you, He's going to judge you to much higher standards than the one who doesn't see the miracle. Why? Because not seeing the miracle allows you to have a room of doubt. Or allow you the benefits of doubt, sort of. If I may say doubt. Okay? So, it will be committing an act that shows disbelief in Allah. Okay? For her, after you've seen my miracle, for you, I will forgive you if you repent. You understand? So, the second reason people will be held to higher standards that they cannot meet. They cannot meet. They can't meet these standards. People are unable to meet these standards. And there are examples in the Quran. Do you know the example of the table, of the dining table?
Yeah.
You know that? At the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, who knows the dining table story? You know it? Okay, who else? Okay, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah said that the disciples of Prophet Isa, his companions, they said to him, can your Lord send us down a miracle, send us down a dining table from heaven, full of food, of course? So Prophet Isa's reaction was, fear Allah! Fear Allah! You don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what you're asking for. It's not going to be... against you. It's not going to be to your benefit. You will be held standard. You will be held to a higher standard than everybody else. So fear Allah and don't ask for miracles. So they start nagging. We want to eat from it, and we want to be a evidence that you didn't lie to us, and. So Prophet Isa prayed to Allah, Ya Allah, send us a dining table. So Allah said, yes, I will do, but one condition. Any one of them who commits an act that shows disbelief in me are going to be doomed in the punishment of hellfire, the bottom layer, forever.
Bottom layer is bad, by the way.
Bottom layer. And this is why bottom layer is special. Like, we'll have the pharaohs and pharaoh-like kings and queens, and the bottom layers are going to have the worst kind of people you can imagine. They go with hypocrites, and so things like that, and the people of the dining table. Why? They ended up, Allah said one condition. Don't store. Eat what you can eat, but don't store. So what happened is that the first day they didn't store. The second day they didn't store. Then the shaitan starts playing games on them, telling them, okay, do you remember when Allah stopped the rain because one guy was made a mistake? They say, yeah. He said, I'm not worried about you, but I'm worried about a bad guy among you will make one mistake and the dining table will stop. So you must save some food. Okay? Okay. Allah said, trust me and do not store. It will come down every day. As long as you are not storing food. So they started storing food and the dining table stopped coming and they were doomed to the bottom of hellfire. Okay? And then Allah talks about the people of Thamud. They asked it for a miracle, which was the she camel. Allah said, yes, I'll bring the miracle. But if they don't believe, they will be destroyed. Completely destroyed. Okay? So they see the miracles. They still didn't believe. I'm going to finish. They still didn't believe after they saw the miracle. Okay? So they were doomed to hell, to the bottom of hellfire. Okay? So are the people, or the Jews, when they crossed the Red Sea in Rhodes. Okay? After that, when they committed an act that chose disobedience or chose denial to the attributes of Allah, they were held to higher standards. And so are the Pharaohs. When they've seen the miracle of Prophet Musa and still didn't believe, they were held to higher standards.
And even the Prophet Musa's believers and followers and whatnot, the second he went to fast for the 40 days, right, they built a cow out of their own.
Baby cow. Calf. Calf. Yep. Okay, inshallah, I'll see you next week and continue.
Right after seeing the sea split, how much more evidence do you guys need to see? Really?